Blog Talk Radio.
I'm running away from this pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away. You're in a toxic relationship. Time to be
Talk Radio Studios in Union City, New Jersey. This is Dating Today with Fernando Uribe. I want to thank you all for tuning in. This, the 24th of January, the year 2017. Once again, I want to thank you all from listening from wherever and however you're tuning in online here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, this week's edition of Dating Today is brought to you by the Mason Civic League. Folks, it's a wonderful local nonprofit here in New Jersey, right at 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken. You can visit their office Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. You can also call them directly at 201-706-8088. For more information about this wonderful nonprofit that I'm proud to partner with, check out their website, www.masoncivic.org. That's MASONCIVIC.org. Now, for those of you who are not aware, the Mason Civic League was established in 2010 by former Hoboken Councilwoman, the distinguished Beth Mason. And the mission of the Mason Civic League has been to assist community members and all of the necessary groups in need here in Hudson County. Now, the Mason Civic League has sponsored programs and events to promote the arts, continuing education, and activities for residents of all ages. Folks, again, if you have any time or disposable income to donate to the Mason Civic League, please do so and check them out again online, www.masoncivic.org. Don't forget to follow them on Instagram and Twitter, as their Twitter account is going to be active here shortly. And also make sure you like them on Facebook. They're all great pages on social media. All right, I also want to give some acknowledgments here, ladies and gentlemen, to Son Cubano Restaurant, soncubanonj.com, a wonderful website. Check them out again, www.soncubanonj.com. Now, Son Cubano is located at 40-4 Riverwalk Place along the waterfront in West New York, New Jersey, just minutes away from the New Jersey Turnpike and Garden State Parkway. Also minutes away from the Lincoln Tunnel and the George Washington Bridge, as well as New York waterways, and easily accessible by using your Lyft and or Uber apps. Now, for those of you who are not aware, Son Cubano is one of New Jersey's premier award-winning restaurants, offering you amazing Cuban cuisine with a beautiful skyline in New York City to enjoy 7 days a week. So whether it's lunch, dinner, or any special occasion, call their reservation hotline at 201-399-2020. Once again, 201-399-2020, because you know what? You want to go to Son Cubano, NJ. And speaking of Son Cubano, folks, I'm delighted to announce, again, as a proud partner with them, that this Friday night, okay, for any of my great listeners in the South Florida area, Son Cubano Miami premieres. It's a very, very wonderful restaurant and cigar lounge opening this Friday, January 27th, for lunch and dinner. It's located at 2530 Ponce de Leon Boulevard in Coral Gables, Florida. Now, again, you can call them at their reservation hotline, 305-902-6220. You can also, again, follow them on Instagram, and also make sure you follow them on Facebook, and also check out their website, www.soncubanomiami.com. So congrats to my great partners at Son Cubano, especially opening this Friday night in South Florida at Son Cubano Miami. I also want to give an acknowledgement here, ladies and gentlemen, to CromCakes.com, a great local media site hosted by a dear friend of mine, a dear friend of the show, Ms. Ashley CromCakes. You can go to her website, www.cromcakes.com. Also check out wonderful website as well, also administered by Miss Ashley Cromkicks. Check out roughrehab.org, folks. That's www.roughrehab.org. That's R-U-F-F-R-E-H-A-B.org. Now, Rough Rehab is located at 360 Route 46 in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. It's a wonderful no-kill northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter. So it's a new year, and you know what? If you're looking for that pet that'll complete your life, you know what? Look no further than Rough Rehab. They'll make sure you get a dog or cat of your choice, and they'll work with you to get that special pet to start off the new year right. So again, folks, I want to acknowledge Rough Rehab along with Cromkicks.com here. Lastly, I also want to give an acknowledgement here on the show to Facepalm Gaming. You can follow them on Twitter at gaming_palm. You can also check out their online channel, which is twitch.tv/FacepalmGaming311. Now, they stream content ranging from RPGs, which are role-playing games, all the way to FPS, which are first-person shooter games. It's a great online community for gamers, and it's a chance to exchange ideas and tips about games that entertain you. So, again, check out Facepalm Gaming. Follow them on Twitter at gaming_palm. Again, their online channel, twitch.tv/FacepalmGaming311. Again, very special thank you to Facepalm Gaming, to Cromkicks.com, Rough Rehab, Son Cubano NJ, Son Cubano Miami, and, of course, our dedicated sponsor, the Mason Civic League, here on Dating Today. Folks, the toll-free hotline to call in this evening and opine. I want to hear from you, the listeners. Again, it's 646-649-1926. 646-649-1926. If you wish to call into the show, again, I'm looking forward to hearing from you toll-free tonight. Again, for the next hour, I want to hear from you, are my great listeners. Again, you can also reach me on email. Make sure you write to the show's inbox, which is professorfuj@gmail.com. Once again, professorfuj@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow me also on Twitter, @theGloriousFUJ. Follow me on Instagram @your_favorite_Fernando. 12,000 plus followers and counting, folks. You're a great online following. I want to thank you all for being that supportive and showing how much you love Fernando Uribe. So again, I'm deeply grateful to everybody who does so. Folks, again, the toll-free hotline tonight, 646-649-1926. A special shout-out to Bakersfield, California. That's right, Bakersfield's in the house tonight. Reaching out to one of my buddy Shane here, and happy to hear his health is great. After a couple scares there, so I'm happy to hear he's doing well now health-wise. Love you, bro, and I look forward to seeing you this September at Aaron's wedding in Vermont. So looking forward to having the Wolfpack reunite, brother. But more importantly, I'm just happy to hear that you're happy and healthy, man. So shout out again, Bakersfield, California, in the house. Shout out to Shane Valenzuela. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, I want to thank you all for tuning in. Again, hopefully you had a great weekend. For all you NFL fans, championship weekend, very uneventful, very, very boring games. And, of course, Super Bowl 51 coming up in 2 weeks, February the 5th, from Houston, Texas. Atlanta Falcons, New England Patriots. Should be a interesting game, to say the least. And, of course, the commercials will also be, I'm sure, entertaining as well on Fox. I mean, I'm not too happy about having to hear Joe Buck's voice for 4 hours, but I mean, what can you do? But in any event, folks, hope you had a wonderful weekend. Great weekend this past in D.C. for me, attending the inauguration of the 45th president of the United States, John Trump. Very interesting experience for me being there on Friday to witness the inauguration and sort of the mood of the city itself during the inauguration. Of course, Saturday, walking through downtown D.C. and seeing the Women's March live and in person was quite an experience, to say the least, being there walking through the streets of downtown D.C. Very, very interesting people walking, some very, you know, unique-looking people, to say the least. You know, if there was ever a reason to believe in birth control, trust me, I think this past Saturday definitely raises the notion, I think, full, you know, front and center, of course. So, again, I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. And folks here tonight, listen, I want to cover a topic that I know resonates with a lot of you, the listeners, here in the New York, New Jersey area, and even around the country, everywhere that listens in Raleigh, North Carolina, down in Miami, all the way out in Dallas, Texas, all the way out in California, L.A., of course, Bakersfield, California as well. You know, all across the country, people tune in. And, you know, I was thinking about this as I was doing some editing on the book itself and Dating Today, which, you know, hopefully, again, some good news on the horizon in terms of publishing and getting it out there on the marketplace for you, the listeners, to read my thoughts about dating and certainly have as a great companion to this podcast, which again was the reason why I did the podcast to begin with. So in any event, folks, I want to talk about a topic that I think really resonates for a lot of men. Not so much women. I think the dating landscape has changed maybe in recent years. But I think that the behavior I want to talk about tonight is quite, present for my male listeners. And I wanted to sort of go over the realities about dating younger, which a lot of men do. And it's not a practice that's new to the dating scene. I think it's a practice that's as old as time itself. One of the things I was going through my mind as I was doing my revisions and sitting there, I was sort of, looking at in life, just like dating, there are a few absolutes. And, for example, generally you try to avoid people with two first names, or sometimes, or those who abbreviate the word probably as probs are probably people you don't want to deal with. But you never know, that one awful abbreviator could be like your soulmate. And I was thinking about that, sort of like those weird dynamics sometimes we run into in the dating scene. But what I wanted to talk about tonight, I think, and again, I don't want you to hold this as scripture or as an absolute per se, but speaking from experience, sometimes I think you have to implement a certain type of a year rule in terms of dating. And I know that some data I've come across and some different articles and research have proposed a number like the 8-year rule or the 10-year rule. And for the most part, the rule states that you shouldn't date anyone outside of a certain spectrum of an age demographic in your life. I understand there are possibilities where two people can successfully date with an age gap of more than 8 years, 10 years or more. It can happen. But I can tell you from experience that it may not be the best thing for you. And now listen, it doesn't come without its benefits. Let me be very clear. I'd be a hypocrite if I sat here for an hour and told you that you shouldn't date young, because for anyone that knows me, they know full well that I've dated young for quite some time. That hasn't been the case lately. Dating someone, along my age demographic is fine. But I know that in previous years, having dated considerably younger has been a challenge. And I've tried to date I've tried to date women who are older, younger, and if you believe it, almost exactly the same age as me. But after, a whole bunch of successes and failures with women, and as time has gone on, I've sort of found at least a common failure that's happened for me. Now, again, let me be very clear, folks. I'm not saying that there isn't a formula for success. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm not trying to shoot the idea down altogether. Again, and this is just speaking for myself personally. I'll use myself as an example in my previous dating life. I'm by no means the most mature man that a woman's going to meet. And I'm not insinuating that all younger women are flighty or immature. But let's also be fair about something. There's a reason we tend to date people who are closer in our age group. And so if it's something that seems too good to be true, for example, if he or she's too hot for you by, a few years, who knows? But this is the problem. And these are things that, again, I want you to really think about, and that most likely you're going to run into if you break this rule. Again, if you are dating within a couple of years, I don't have an issue with. But again, speaking from experience, when you do anything over 8 years, listen, anything over a presidential term, anything over two presidential terms, I think could be problematic. Okay? Anything 8 to 10 or more, I think could be very problematic. And, speaking from experience, one of the things that I realized, again, as a man, I'd be very hypocritical if I came on the air tonight and said, you know what, for those guys looking to date younger, don't do it. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not going to tell you not to do it, but I'm going to advise against it for a couple of reasons. Now, again, experience is your greatest teacher. And for some of you that haven't done it, you might say, well, what does he know? Maybe it didn't work out for him. And you're right. It didn't work out for me in some instances. But it's not to say that the experience overall was not a teaching experience, and it was not fun. It wasn't enjoyable. Listen, as a guy, did I enjoy dating someone who's younger? Yes, because you know what? As a guy, when I did it in my 30s, yeah, I was dating women in their early 20s, mid-20s. And guess what? When I walk in somewhere, whether it's a birthday party or I walk into any event that I was attending and my friends are there, you know what? There's something to be said about the male ego and how sometimes we're so vulnerable to it. But you know what? The size of my ego, when I walked in there and I had a nice little young hottie next to me, you know, walking in with a tight little dress, looking young, nice complexion, whatever. You know, hey, next to me, and again, I'm not saying I look overwhelmingly older. However, you know, walking in with her, that was a considerable boost in one's ego. So, you know, I'm not going to lie to you, and I think that's probably part of the reason that I enjoyed doing it. You know, I got to sort of, you know, have that Derek Jeter syndrome, you know, dating considerably younger. Why? You want that young hottie next to you. You know, if you're the mature, older man, that's probably something that, you know, a lot of women relish. Now, one of the things that, you know, I was always consistent about was the fact that, and my friends even knew this, that whenever I dated younger, it wasn't for the fact of them being gold diggers or looking to be taken care of or looking to, you know, be sustained, because that wasn't the case. When I dated younger, I was a guy that was finishing up grad school. I was still working, you know, for the city of New Jersey, and then I sort of transitioned to academia and different jobs. You know, I wasn't someone that was making six figures. And you know, again, working in academia, I'm not going to see that for some time, if ever. But the point is that I had the luxury of dating younger because, number one, I felt it was a bit of a younger soul. I enjoyed doing things that, you know, younger people enjoy doing, you know, going out to clubs, going out to go to the movies, you know, go out to sort of entertaining things, you know, go bowling, go to Dave and Buster's, you know, play beer pong, things like that, which, again, I don't feel is age exclusive. I think if you enjoy doing that with a bunch of friends and it's harmless and you enjoy the spirit of competition, I think it's great. You can do that. And that was one of the things that I always took a lot of pride in, the fact that, you know, that you know, I was able to adapt to any surrounding. And I know sometimes I know that, you know, maybe the term Peter Pan syndrome was thrown around. But the point was that, you know, I felt comfortable just doing things that I felt were enjoyable. And when I was going out to establishments, especially in nightlife, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like I specifically went out looking for younger women. Now, listen, let me be very clear as well. Was there a point in time, maybe in my early 30s, maybe mid-30s, like right at 30, I think 35 was like my cutoff point. Was I going to bars and or clubs in New York City, for example, which is only a few minutes away from me, and hitting places that were very, very young? Yeah. You know what? I remember going to bars in the sort of the Gramercy area and, you know, Midtown East, those type of areas, you know, where it was very, very young. I remember going to bars in the West Village, such as Down the Hatch and Off the Wagon, which I think were a little bit young, you know, right near NYU. I remember going to bars and clubs in the Upper West Side, you know, right by Columbia University. And, you know, I didn't go out of my way to meet someone younger, but listen, you're in the surroundings, you're there with a bunch of guys. And listen, I'm not going to apologize for saying this, but I know I'm not a bad looking man. I like to think I'm very handsome. And I know that when I went somewhere that I would command a certain attention. So if I'm out with my buddies, you know, and I'd like to think that I stood out, not to say that none of them would stand out either. I mean, they all would too. But what I'm saying is that I know that if I showed up there looking the way I look, you know, clean shaven, little, you know, cleaned up a little bit, you know, whatever. And again, I'm not the best dresser, so I would never claim to walk in looking all spiffy. But, you know, I'd like to think that I was nice to look at. So when I walked in there, I knew that I had a fighting chance whenever I saw a woman that interested me, and I would talk to her. Now, sure, I'd go up to her, and, you know, after a few minutes, I probably would understand what she was doing there, where she's from. And I remember, I think there would be tons of times I would be sort of like in the Midtown East section, like in the 20s or 30s around there. And, you know, I remember going to a bar. I'll never forget this. There was a point in my life going out with some buddies that I would go to a bar called the Joshua Tree. And that was a bar pretty much along 3rd Avenue in New York City, right around maybe the 31st, you know, East 31st or East 30th Street. And that was a very young bar. I mean, we had women in there that were probably 21, 22 years old. And they were hot. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, you're a guy and you're going out with your buddies and there's a hot little female that catches your eye and you catch her eye, you're going to go in there and talk to her and see what happens, you know? And I'm not going to apologize for that because I think that's something that guys normally do. And I think that, you know, we've sort of become very acclimated as a society to sort of accept that from men, you know? Now, by no means am I even attempting to put myself in the same category as Derek Jeter, but it's funny, you know, you would see Derek Jeter, who just married Hannah Davis last year. I mean, Derek Jeter is my age, I think. He's 41, and he married Hannah Davis, who's 24. And no one seems to blink an eye about that, other than the fact that he has money and she has some money too, whatever. But the point is that I think that men dating considerably younger hasn't been looked down upon, but it has its detriments. And I remember for the longest time dating someone very young. And one of my dearest friends, Pammy, sorry to, you know, blow up your spot, Pammy. And again, big shout out to her and her husband, Eric, and the boys and their beautiful sons in Kentucky. So, you know, looking forward to seeing you sometime soon. But I remember that for years I would see Pammy, and I remember as she, you know, had gotten married, or even before that, I remember dating younger women. And I remember when she first, I'll give you an example. I remember back in the summer, I think of 2009, I was hosting my charity softball game that I did every summer to benefit wounded veterans. And, you know, Pammy, to her credit, was great. She was my teammate. She agreed to be on my softball team. And I remember I was dating at the time now in 2009. I believe I was 34, I remember, yes. And I, you know, at the time I was dating a nice-looking 23-year-old, you know. She was a pretty hot blonde, little hottie Polish girl, you know. And I was the envy of all my friends. And I remember just bringing her to the game, you know. She met Pammy. You know, we'd been dating for a few months, and she had a chance to meet her. And sure enough, you know, Pammy and Eric are around my age group. You know, her husband Eric, so maybe about a year or two older than me, not much. And there were just some things that were just, you know, funny among us. And when I'd bring something up, and I remember just standing there with her, I'd make a comment or a funny joke. And I remember at the time, the woman I was dating was saying to me, oh yeah, that song. Yeah, what year was that? Yeah, I don't think I was alive yet. And I remember just there was like a sudden hush in the dugout as we were just drinking beer during the game when, you know, my friend Perry looked at me and her husband, well, at the time they were dating, looked at me and said, whoa, okay, wow, she wasn't born yet, Fernando? I'm like, yep, you know. So it was one of those things that was just kind of unique. And I think that, you know, the following year, you know, I was dating someone younger again, to 2011, same thing, 2012. And it was really interesting because it was one of those things that just was, it was a joke, you know. It was sort of like the running joke among my friends, where I remember, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I remember in the spring, well, early winter of 2012, I was dating a woman from Princeton who I believe was 30. I think she was about 7 years younger than me. And it was funny because I remember just bringing it up in conversation, and, you know, and then my friend Pammy would meet her, and when she told us she was only 7 years apart, she's like, oh, wow, you know, you're sure about this? Like, you know, I think she's a little too old for you, Fernando. So it becomes sort of a running joke in my social circle of friends, where they were like, oh, God, you know, wow. Oh, Fernando's dating someone younger? Wow, newsflash. So it becomes sort of like a punchline among my circle of friends, because nobody else was able to do that for the most part. You know, I think my other friends were younger than me. So obviously being, you know, age approximate wasn't an issue. But for me, yeah, you know, I was in my 30s and I'm dating someone who's in their early to mid 20s. So it was always, so, you know, I didn't mind being the butt of jokes. I didn't mind it being funny when we talked about it. I really didn't care. You know, I sort of just brushed it off my shoulder because, again, at the end of the day, you know, in my mind, I said to myself, hey, you know, I'm dating a young, hot chick. And you know what? Hey, why should I apologize about that? She's a hottie. I can show her off. I get to walk in somewhere with a hot young woman, and guess what? I'm the center of attention. Why? Because she's next to me. And I think that for a lot of guys, I think that's sort of the reasoning why we do these things. But again, it doesn't come without its problems. And the first problem, again, that you're likely to run into when there's a wide gap, and I just mentioned it right now in my example, is number one, that they don't understand your references. You know, it was interesting where, you know, I remember one time I went out with a woman who was under the impression that that Lauryn Hill was famous because she was in the movie Sister Act 2. And I said to myself, okay, well, yeah, that was an okay movie. And but the next thing that came to my mind is like, wow, did people already forget about the Fugees or something? And they, you know, is there something wrong here? And, you know, to be clear, I mean, not knowing who the Fugees are or simply missing someone's references doesn't make them a bad person. It might make them ignorant of great music, and it might not make you a great match. But, you know, those subtle little things where, you know, I remember as a Cowboy fan, you know, the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since 1995. And that's over, you know, 20-something years. You know, as a matter of fact, it's about 22 years. And I remember, let's say, for example, in, I don't know, 2000 and I'll give you an example. Yeah, I think it's like 2010. I was 35. And it was funny because during a discussion about football, and again, I was dating a woman who was not a Cowboys fan. She was a Giants fan. And she was relatively young. And I remember, I think, again, in sort of that same example, talking in front of one of my best friends and her future husband, just talking about, well, you know, how long it's been since the Cowboys won a Super Bowl. And I was like, yeah, you know, 1995. It's like, yeah, it's been a while. You know, hopefully they'll try to get it done. And I remember at that moment during the conversation, I think we were having drinks, and my girlfriend at the time said, oh, yeah, I was 7 when they won. I don't really remember too much, but I do remember the Cowboys a little bit. And I remember just everyone at the table looked at me like, whoa, this girl was 7 years old when the Cowboys last won the Super Bowl in 1995. And I guess that was sort of like a funny joke among everybody, like, uh-oh, Fernando robbing the cradle again. And, you know, again, I just became immune to it. But it was just interesting, you know, mentioning that during the conversation or talking about, you know, shows like in the mid-80s that were great, that, you know, great TV series that, you know, we can still catch on Hulu or Netflix today. And I remember at the time, obviously, there was no such thing as Netflix or Hulu to discuss in social circles. But, you know, we were there talking about, let's say, TV programs or talking about pro wrestling and saying, oh, yeah, you know, my God, when the Ultimate Warrior fought Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 6 in 1990, that was insane. And I remember that same conversation that my girlfriend at the time would say, wow, I was 2. And at that point, it was just like, oh, God, you know, just like, okay, let's talk about something else, you know. And, you know, it was a bit frustrating. And I think sometimes, you know, if you're dating someone considerably younger than you, they may not understand your references. They may not understand where you're coming from when it comes to music, when it comes to, you know, movies and TV and quality shows or, again, anything that you'll remember from your childhood. Because, again, they were very young, if not even born yet. I mean, the fact that, listen, I remember for some years now, the fact that when I was getting younger in previous years, when girlfriends of mine would say to me, oh, my God, Nicki Minaj is such a good singer, or I love Drake. And I'm like, I would just say, you don't know what good music is. Like, I grew up in an era in the late 80s, early 90s, mid 90s, where that was real hip hop. That was really good hip hop. And not that it would cause an argument, but it would just be funny. Because they would say, oh, wow. And then when I would introduce them to it, they'd be automatically hooked. And they'd say, wow, like, Fernando, you do know about good movies and good music and good TV and good stuff like that because you're knowledgeable. Well, it's not so much being knowledgeable. It's just that I'm older and I lived through it. So I was able to offer that in a sense. So in that regard, again, understanding your references can be a problem and it could sort of build up after a while. Now, I mean, not about silly things, but, you know, if that's something that can become problematic for you, you might want to look at. Second problem, again, I think that this is something that, you know, you might run into dating younger. If you're dating someone very, very, again, much younger than you, I'm talking about 8, 10, 12 years, if not more, there's a very real possibility that they still rely on their parents for way too much. Now, don't get me wrong, and let me be very clear. My parents still play a huge role in my life, and I can't imagine much outside of, you know, any senility that'll change that. But there's a difference between playing a role and codependence. I very much have a great relationship with my parents. My parents do not financially sustain me and have not sustained me for quite some time. And I'm talking about many, many, many years. I've been quite self-sustaining. I've been very independent financially for many, 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 many years. That's something I took a lot of pride in. Because I know that Hispanic cultures, Hispanic parents sometimes don't mind doing that. They sort of feel it's a responsibility and an obligation to help their kids as much as possible. That in that way, I'm very, very grateful because my parents love me and I love them very much. And I am, you know, very relying on them, I think, for emotional support, I think, and for encouragement. And my parents are my two biggest cheerleaders. And, you know, from very good times in my life to very bad times in my life, my parents have been there. They've been in my corner. And they've been the type of person that, you know, type of people, excuse me, my mother, my father, that, you know, have been great. You know, they've been married for 43 years, you know, it'll be 44 actually this year in May. And they're wonderful. And Do I rely on my parents sometimes for advice or counsel when it comes to, let's say, my love life? Yep, I think so. I think that's unavoidable. I think sometimes it's inevitable. I try not to rely too heavily on them at all because I don't think it's healthy. I like to sort of keep some things to myself and not be so reliant on them. But overall, you know, again, there's a difference between playing a role in my life, which my parents do. And I'll sort of give you an example of what I'm talking about. You know, I remember on a date I went on with a 22-year-old. I remember, you know, just discussing how she planned on getting home after the date. And I remember her answer. And again, and I was sort of getting the sense that I wasn't going to take her home that night, which is fine. You know, it wasn't the end of the world. It wasn't like, okay, well, I know I can take this woman home. We had a nice date. And, you know, I kind of had the idea that I was going to get together with her again. So, again, you know, I just had that the vibe was going that evening, and I felt very positive about the date. And I knew that I'd get a second date out of it. As a matter of fact, I remember we dated for a few months. But I remember during the date, we were discussing again how she planned on getting home after the date. And her answer was simply to me, oh, well, my dad's going to pick me up from the train station because he does that every day after work. And I remember, you know, it was like, and her reason for this wasn't that she didn't have a car or that she was saving money. It was that she truly wanted to be able to drink as much as she wanted to any day and every day, like sort of like on a whim. And, you know, story, again, during the conversation, I sort of deduced that either she was an alcoholic, irresponsible, or just a product of parents who just let her do whatever she wanted. And maybe it's a combination of all three. And for me, it was sort of like, okay, well, you know, do you have any sort of independence from your parents? Because, I mean, when you're dating someone that young, for example, folks, the fact that they might still be financially dependent on their parents is very real. I remember 5 years ago, I remember I started dating a woman in the summer of 2012. And she was, if I remember correctly, she was, I'm doing some math now. I'm just trying to remember exactly where this is, where this is going. I think she just turned 25, I think, in 2013. And that was 4 years ago. So she was 25 and I was 37. And you know what? Honestly, it was one of those things where she had just finished grad school. She had just, you know, went out about looking for a job, went about looking for, you know, full-time employment after being in grad school for so many years, you know. And she went right straight to grad school right after undergrad. I don't think she really waited too much. And I remember that, you know, early on dating her, she was working and she was making money. Very minimal because she was working part-time. She started doing promotional gigs, you know, liquor promotions, and those are things that are very strenuous and laborious. But she was looking for full-time work, and I remember that, you know, during that summer that she had gone back to Florida for about a month. This was in June, and, you know, to see her parents, and, you know, after she graduated in May, she wanted to go home, see her parents for about a month, and just sort of, you know, decompress, and then come back to New York in July. And we had, you know, I remember we had gone out on a few dates in May that year, you know, right after my birthday. And it was sort of like all right, let's sort of do a dual celebration, my birthday and your graduation. So when she came back in July, you know, she was sort of, the incentive was to, all right, well, I enjoyed spending time with you when I was here. I don't want to stay in Florida very long. I do want to come back and, you know, explore a relationship with you. And I was like, great, awesome. And I felt the same way. And I wasn't hesitant about it. I wasn't apprehensive. And I said, great, you know, and I remember when she was there and, so, you know, we talk every day. And then when she came back in July, you know, we started dating and, you know, we just became exclusive. And, but, you know, in the meantime of trying to, you know, get her life together, her parents were still helping her out a little bit, you know, to, you know, pay for her loans. I mean, she had taken out an exorbitant amount of student loans privately from banks, you know, because federal student aid wasn't really helping in terms of where she went to school. For grad school, it was much more expensive. It was a private university, and it was a private degree, so it was going to be much more expensive. And, you know, her dad, and I mean, do I want to call her a daddy's girl? Maybe a little bit. I don't want to go crazy about it because I think that that was, you know, sort of like something that a lot of millennials, I think, are used to. But I remember that she was, you know, she would get some money, you know, weekly or biweekly from her parents. They would deposit some money into her account. And again, you know, when we were dating, I knew that her dating me wasn't a product of like, oh, well, Fernando has money and I know that, you know, he's going to take care of me. No, that wasn't the case. I think that the way she wanted me to take care of her was just to be supportive and to be encouraging and to help her, you know, fix up her resume, help fix her cover letter, you know, help her, you know, find employment. Because she knew that because of my experience, you know, my contacts maybe that could do that. And, you know, it was fine. It was, you know, one of the things that I took a lot of pride in that relationship was the fact that, you know, I got her first job and her first full-time job in the field that she wanted to work in, you know, nonprofit, you know, administration and stuff like that. So it was fine. But I remember that consistently, you know, she, you know, was still very heavily financially dependent on her parents. And one thing is, now again, she was able to get full-time work. She was able to move in to an apartment with one of her best friends, one of the more despicable people I've ever met, and probably one of the bigger degenerates I think I've ever come into contact with. But anyway, let me not digress. But I remember, you know, her moving in. I remember that July, helping her move into her apartment, and you know, again, she was there on her own, living in Jersey City, and you know, trying to be sustainable somehow. But I know that she still had a sort of dependence on her parents. You know, her parents send her money frequently, not just because of rent, but just because of food. And again, her loans incurred a large amount of her expenses. And, you know, I felt bad for her. Now, I never went out of my way to sort of help her pay for it because that wasn't me. And I tried to, and she like resisted because she just felt that she didn't want to feel like it was my obligation or anything like that. You know, it was her responsibility, which I commend her on. You know, a lot of millennials won't do that. A lot of millennials will take a freebie any way they can, but she wasn't like that, you know, and I applaud her for that. But I remember that she was still very dependent on her parents. And even, you know, after we broke up, I remember still dealing with her, like her parents are still, you know, a very, very big denominator in her life. You know, again, there's a difference between playing a role in someone's life, folks, and being a codependent. And I think that, you know, when you're dating someone extremely younger than you, there's always going to be that problem. So something you might want to think about. Another problem you might run into, again, is that they may not live on their own yet, you know. Now, listen, if I could do it all over again, I probably would not have moved out of my parents' house as soon as I did, when I did so, after finishing college at Rutgers University. I remember moving out of my parents' house fairly quickly after graduation. I did move back eventually at the beginning of grad school. But I probably could have saved some more money back then. And essentially I don't think my social life would have been any different. But again, let me be very clear. I'm not dumping on anyone who still lives with their parents. I'm not. I'm just saying that, you know, if you're dating someone extremely younger than you, and again, for guys, and she's still living with her parents, it might be something you might have to consider. Number one, getting privacy is not going to be possible unless it's on your terms or it's at your place. That's just the way it is. You know, and one of the things that I learned is that you have to sort of pick and choose this. You have to sort of pick and choose the dynamics of when you date someone that younger. Okay? When she is still living with her parents, and again, still is very dependent on them, understand that, you know, she may want to stay over at your place a lot, which is fine, which I've never minded. I remember dating as young as I have in my lifetime. By and large, most of the women always said to me, hey, listen, can I crash with you for the entire weekend? And I would say, yeah, sure, absolutely. Be my guest. I have no problem. Let's go. You know, and I enjoyed it. I didn't mind that at all. And, you know, one of the things that sort of, you know, I understood that was sort of the reality is that, you know, staying at her place wasn't possible. I think after a certain period of time, I think there were certain women I dated that were younger than me that when we had dated for a while, and I'm not talking about a month or two, I'm talking about a good amount of months, I'm talking about 6 months or more, her parents felt somewhat comfortable about me staying over, maybe not in her room with her, but at least being there, you know, maybe sleeping on the couch in the living room and she was upstairs or she was down the hall or whatever. But, you know, she, you know, because her parents knew me, obviously, if she's gone all weekend and she's staying somewhere, she's staying at my place. And of course, she's staying in my bed. So I think that by and large, a lot of parents today, especially parents of millennials, I think understand that the necessity of being a progressive in that manner when it comes to, you know, looking at their kids and where they're staying for the night or for a weekend, you know. And it's one of those things that for me never seemed to bother me, per se. I was more than happy to have whoever I was dating over. You know, we'd go out for dinner. Now, again, this is, mind you, I think a certain amount of time I think had to pass until I felt comfortable bringing them around my family and being around my parents, being around my grandmother, you know, being around my uncle, you know, and my cousin Daniel. But again, you know, I never looked down on the women that were younger and date and still, you know, didn't live on their own yet. I think that's, you know, I think you have to have a certain mindset to do that. And not everyone's ready. I feel a lot of younger women, even younger guys sometimes, are not always in the right frame of mind to do that. And it's important to understand that. So, and the last problem I think you might run into, again, when you date younger, great chance that they communicate poorly. And this is probably going to make me sound old, and I'm okay with that. But it starts, number one, with how frequently they text, how surprised they are by phone calls as, you know, as a mode of communication, and how irresponsibly they handle getting back to people in a timely manner. And naturally, listen, it concludes with something like what I've experienced several times in my life, is that a date lasts no more than 45 minutes, and it feels like an absolute death march for sort of like the final minutes of it. You know, on these dates, you know, listen, it's decent, you know. I've had some simple and flowing conversation, but, you know, once you run out of, like, let's say, stock options to chat about, or how many siblings do you have, or what do you think of Bumble, or have you binge-watched any shows lately? I mean, there's sometimes very little left, and sometimes you both know it. And to be honest, it's one of those things where I've always taken a lot of pride in being a good communicator. I take a lot of pride in being someone that's knowledgeable, that always has something to say, that can hold a conversation. You know, one of the things that I take a lot of pride in is when I've gone out in social scenes, whether it be nightlife, again, or I've been when I was in grad school and I was in the student center, or I was at the library and I was just sort of conversing with members of the opposite sex, and, you know, if I was interested in them or vice versa, I always made a point to be knowledgeable. I always made a point to be informed and, you know, be easy to talk to and be someone that, you know, a woman would enjoy talking to. That's the way it is. And, you know, what I, you know, would say is something that, you know, could be a deal breaker is the fact that, you know, you can't really have a good line of communication. I remember dating as young as I have, they've been very, you know, reliant on sort of smartphone technology, where they text more than they call. And that was something I think right from the get-go was a bit of a surprise to the women that I dated that were younger than me. They actually said, well, you know, Fernando takes the time and makes the effort to call and makes, he can have conversations, you know, not always just texting and stuff like that. But that, you know, we can sit down and have a conversation. We can sit down and have that, you know, that sort of, you know, rapport and that sort of dialogue. And I think I feel that this is a component that's missing in today's dating scene. And I think it's even more absent when you're dating someone that's extremely younger than you. And I remember, again, and let me preface it by saying, folks, especially the guys listening tonight, I'd be a hypocrite if I told you not to date younger. Yes, it was fun. It was great. Again, there's a profound difference when you walk in somewhere and there's a hot-looking woman next to you who's younger, and all your friends are either sitting there by themselves, don't have anybody next to you, or are dating someone maybe closer to their age, and they're nowhere near as attractive as the little hottie you're walking in with. And you know what? For a lot of guys, that means a big deal. It does. You know, as men, many times we're governed by our egos. And it happens, you know? So for me, I'm very excited about that. The fact that I would go and, you know, want to have a conversation, that I would want to be able to, you know, sit down and talk about simple things without, you know, getting bored. And I think consistently what I tried to do always is, number one, I wouldn't be oblivious. There are things that I know that she would like, and certainly there are more age, you know, exclusive to her, either music or things that she likes around her age demographic. Yeah, listen, I'd make it a point to learn and read about them. And, you know, when you're dating someone that's younger, and let's say it starts progressing, and let's say that she becomes invested in you emotionally, she's going to make the time too. She will. And I remember because in recent years, when I dated women that were much younger than me, I remember dating women that were sometimes 11, 12, about 13 years younger than me. And they made it a point to learn things, to learn about things that I liked, to get into shows that, you know what, that I found interesting, old TV sitcoms that were available on Netflix. And I remember, again, Netflix, in terms of the streaming channel that we know today, really took off, I would say, probably in around 2013. And I remember, you know, the woman I was dating at the time, she was very much into you know, binge-watching shows and watching documentaries. And I remember she would watch things that I used to like as a kid or as an adult growing up, old sitcoms, old movies. And she would say, wow, like, this is a really, really great movie. Compared to some of the garbage that's being put out there today, this is a solid movie. So, you know, in that regard, I think it was sort of beneficial. Now, you're probably asking yourselves, well, why didn't it work out, Fernando, you know? And, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that. I don't want to sit here and sort of dissect each, you know, relationship and litigate or relitigate what went wrong, what went right, you know. But the point is that, you know, there are challenges with dating younger. It may not always be a wise choice for you to do, guys. It's fun. It's enjoyable. The sex can be crazy. It can be fun. It can be lively. It can be different. You know, you might be going to different venues. You might be doing different things as a couple. So, again, I don't want to discourage you completely. But go into it with, you know, a bit, you know, with your eyes open. Be cautious, you know, be vigilant. Don't be paranoid. Don't be cynical. Don't be pessimistic. But by the same token, do me a favor. You know, have your guard up, you know. Assess your surroundings. Assess what she's bringing to the table. Assess what you think you're going to bring to the table. And whether or not, now again, I'm not saying that relationships with distinct age differences can't work out. They do. My parents are a good example. My father is roughly, I think, about 10 years older than my mother. Okay? Many of you didn't know that. You know, my father's 10 years older than my mother. And they've been married. They're going to be married 44 years this spring, God willing. So, I mean, clearly there's a formula for success there. And if you communicate and you do fun things and you go out and you join this company, yes, it's possible. I'm not saying it cannot. I mean, the president of the United States right now has a considerable age difference on his wife. I believe the president of the United States, I believe, is 71 years old. And I believe his wife, Melania, is, I think, 48, 49, I believe. So can those relationships work? Of course they can. I think it takes time. It takes effort. I think it takes work. It takes understanding and communication, but they can work. But understand that sometimes it can be a recipe for disaster. So just take that into account, especially for the guys listening tonight, and even for the ladies. That doesn't mean you can't date a younger guy. It could be young, it could be exciting, it could be fresh, it could be new. Just understand that some of these problems I discussed tonight could very well present themselves. So, again, go in with an open mind, but be cautious as well. Now, again, folks, I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. If you missed any part of the podcast, you can always listen in free from anywhere on your PC, your Mac, your smartphone, or your tablet by simply going to www.blogtalkradio.com/datingtoday. And they're there. They listen to all year round, whether you're at the gym, whether you're enduring a long commute, whether you're doing food shopping, running errands. Hey, play it and listen, and you'll enjoy the show, as I've gotten just considerable feedback about it. And I hope that you can share it with your friends, share it on your social media, tell your friends about the excellent dating advice that you'll hear every week here on Dating Today. Okay, folks, I want to thank my sponsor, the Mason Civic League. Again, you can check out their website, www.masoncivic.org. You can contact them directly, 201-706-8088. They're located at 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. Make sure you like them on Facebook. Also follow them on Instagram, and now their Twitter account will be up and running shortly, so you can follow them also there. Again, they're a great local nonprofit organization in Hoboken, and they've been helping out residents for many, many years and making a difference in the community. So, again, the Mason Civic League, a proud sponsor of Dating Today. Folks, I also want to acknowledge Son Cubano Restaurant. Again, you can check them out at www.soncubanonj.com. Son Cubano, located at 40-4 Riverwalk Place in West York, New Jersey. Again, easily accessible via the New Jersey Turnpike, Garnsey Parkway, also near the Lincoln Tunnel and George Washington Bridge, as well as New York Waterways, the Hudson Bergen Light Rail, New Jersey Transit, as well as Lyft and Uber. So, again, call their reservation hotline, 201-399-2020. Once again, their reservation hotline, 201-399-2020. Again, I want to congratulate them on the grand opening coming up this Friday, as it will be open for lunch and dinner, Son Cubano Miami. Again, check them out, www.soncubanomiami.com. And don't forget to follow them on Instagram and also like them on Facebook. I also want to give an acknowledgement here, folks, to Cromcakes.com, a great local media site. Check it out, www.cromcakes.com. That's K as in knife, R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. Great local media site. Check it out there, run by my dear friend, Miss Ashley Cromcakes. Also, check out Rough Rehab, folks, a great local no-kill Northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter located in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. Check out their website, www.roughrehab.org. That's R-U-F-F-R-E-H-A-B.org. Them on Facebook and follow them on Instagram. Last but not least, folks, I also want to send an acknowledgement out here to a great supporter of the show, Facepalm Gaming. You can follow them on Twitter at gaming_palm. Check out their online channel, twitch.tv/facepalmgaming311. So again, it streams content ranging from RPGs, which are role-playing games, all the way to first-person shooter games. It's a great online community for gamers. Check them out at gaming_palm on Twitter, twitch.tv/facepalmgaming311. I thank them all for supporting, and of course, the Mason Civic League for sponsoring the best 3 minutes of commercial-free dating advice you'll hear anywhere online here on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with yours truly, Fernando Uribe. Good night, Atlanta, Georgia, the home of the NFC champions, the Atlanta Falcons. Wish them well as it's their second trip to the Super Bowl, hoping to win their first. So as a good one, folks, again, enjoy your week. And don't forget, every Tuesday night, the best 30-plus minutes of commercial-free dating advice available only here on Blog Talk Radio with Dating Today. I'm Fernando Uribe. Have a good one. And as always, stay classy, everyone.
I'm running away from this pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away.